took it upon himself. Amen. And Saturday, the next day, he went and conquered death on the cross. He went, conquered grave. He went to hell. He went to Satan himself. He said, knock the door open. He said, give me those keys. And Brian said, shut the door on him. Amen. And he said, I have the keys. Amen. The devil, and that's why Paul, when Paul was dying, Paul could say, oh, grave, oh, death, where's your victory? Amen. So before I can get excited with that, let us pray. Amen. Let us rise to our feet and pray. I can get excited. However, all right, let's pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. Oh, God, we thank you, Father, for what you've done for us 2,000 years ago. Lord, you came on earth. Father, you, Redeemer, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Master of the Universe, Creator of Heaven and Earth. The Hebrew will call you Adon Olam, Master of the Universe. But Father, you are our God. But you came down and took upon yourself our sins. Father, and closed that chasm between us. You closed it, so Father, and ripped the veil. So Father, we can enter into the holies of holies. Not because of anything that we can do. Not because of any of our human achievements. Not because we pray too much. Not because we are righteous. But because, Father, when you died there, you took on yourself all our sins. And today, Father, we can call ourselves sons of God and daughters of God, righteous ones. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for conquering death. We thank you for conquering the grave, hell, Satan himself, Father, and you give us a victory. So today, Father, on this Easter morning, we stand at victors, Father, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, I pray that I may bless the service. And Father, help us, Lord, to see what you've done for us, that we may be happy in you, regardless of what happened, regardless of what Satan may bring on the road. May we be happy to know that you, the Father, you love us so much and you died for us. Father, bless the service, bless each one of us, Father. And Lord, may we reflect on what Easter truly means. We commit all to your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Happy Easter. You may be seated. Happy Easter to one and all. Amen. So, quickly, the Lord's Prayer, part 4. But before I go, I want to just read here a prayer from Brother Branham. Okay, before I start the service, Brother Branham, this is in Show Us the Father, and it will suffice us. Brother Branham said, most gracious and holy Father, as we approach thy divine throne of grace, we stand in the shadows of thy justice. We will ask, Lord, that by your grace, that you will forgive us of our sins and trespasses. We desire mercy. Do not judge us according to our lives and our works. Do not give us justice, but give us mercy. And Father, we pray that you make this an afternoon, and I say this morning, that will long be remembered because of your presence. Thanking you for what you've done this morning, around over the city and throughout the valley and over the world. Pray, God, that you continue to be with us and giving us thy grace and mercy until Jesus comes. Bless the word that shall be read and the comment that will be passed upon the word. Let thy spirit be all that we do or say. Heal the sick and afflicted. And we will not forget, Lord, the convalescent, those who cannot come. We pray that the Holy Spirit will stand by their bed this afternoon, I said this morning, while many here in this building are packing burdens for them, may they be healed. Life is over, and we stand in thy presence. We bow humbly to thank thee and give thee all the praise. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So, We are still, see, I got used to not holding this. Okay, let's see here. So we are still on a Lord's Prayer, and today the Lord's Prayer part 4, and I know that because of what I'm going to show first, I won't be able to really go into that, but I will ask you all to try to read Genesis 12, because that's where I'm going to go really deep in. The calling, so today is the Lord's Prayer part 4, the calling of Abraham, the sovereign grace of God. Okay, and let me see as a homework, if you have time, to read, if you can read Genesis, yeah, that's Genesis 12, okay? That's what we're gonna be for next Sunday. I think next Sunday will be my last Sunday or before. But anyway, quickly, I would like to recap the past three services so that those who are not here can bridge into what I'm about to say. So we saw that God in flesh taught us only one prayer in the Bible, which today is called the Lord's Prayer. Okay? They're calling many in Latin called Pater Noster. There are many names for it. But this prayer, if God in flesh taught us one prayer, that means that prayer may have such a deep sense. Amen? And as I said, that prayer, and I read to you the comment from John Wesley. John Wesley said that prayer contained everything possible that a human can ask. That prayer is from cradle to grave about a human life. Amen? And Brother Branham told us for 2,000 years, they've been trying to change the Lord's Prayer, but they can't because it's perfect. Because that's a prayer that God from his heart taught us. Amen? And he told us everything. Don't use vain repetition. It had to just be simple. And that's why I put here simple faith. Okay, and Brother Brown said, it's such a delight to come and speak to an audience in the name of the Lord Jesus, having this assurance that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us in every trial that we have, and just a humble faith, just a humble faith, amen, to believe him, accept him as our Savior, and believe on him for all that we have need for in life. And people will be looking at that. But Jesus told us, don't use vain repetitions. Because you see, it's not you repeating things that make God hear you. Before the foundation of the world, and we get to it later on in a prayer where God shows us that before the foundation of the world, he wrote your life, you individually. He wrote your life as a law. Amen? And when you go to justice, you look at the law. Amen? So anything that you could possibly ask him is already done. So when you come to him, he just wants to come with faith. And so for the past three services, we'll be on the first word, our Father. And the reason we are taking so much time on a Father, I told you guys, you cannot, if I'm walking the street, nobody can approach me and call me Father. Before anybody can call me Father, we have to establish a paternity relationship. Amen? And a paternity relationship with a blood test. And we know that the blood is the Holy Ghost. Amen? You see, Peter, when he was with Jesus, God told him, when you are converted, then strengthen your brother. If you read the Bible, you ask, but why would Jesus say, when you're converted? After Jesus has been with Peter, after Peter had been with Jesus for 3 years, but that conversion, you accepted Christ and you get baptized, you are in the process of becoming a Christian or being converted. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, then you become a Christian and begin, amen, the process doesn't end there. If you notice, when Nicodemus came and tell her that, what did Jesus tell him? You must be born again. Even though he came and gave he gave Jesus all this credential that from God. You think that if it's you and I, somebody come and give us all this, we'll be, oh, thank you. I appreciate your feedback. But he said that God didn't say that. He said, be born again. Amen. Amen? Because Jesus knows that with all that he's giving, if he's not born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It will just be words. Amen? So we established that for you to call somebody father, there has to be a paternity relationship established. Amen? And then once your paternity relationship established, the father, when you come to your father, you come to him in confidence. Amen. When you want to ask something, you ask with confidence, knowing that he will give you. Like a little child, if you are promised I'm going to give you a bike, in essence, that was a bike. You won't even know how you're going to get a bike. If you're going to apply for a credit card and put it on loan, that child does not care how you get that. He knows that you promise your bike, you're going to get that bike, period. Amen? And a father also wants to display to his son the characteristic of what it means to be a father. Amen? It to be display characteristics. So today I want to go a little bit into Hebrew. And like I said, please, don't get a headache trying to learn. I just wanted to show you some Hebrew alphabet that I would just like you, I'll point to you as you read the Bible. Let me repeat myself. I do not intend for you here to learn Hebrew. I do not intend for you here to say that I'm going to learn. If you want to learn, that's fine. I don't have any problem. If you want to learn and ask me to help you learn, I'll be more than, that's one thing I love to do is speaking Hebrew. My wife can tell you when we went to Israel, I'll have plenty of time to do that. So, but this year, I'll point some alphabet to you that throughout the Bible, when you read something, the Bible can, you read, you don't understand it. And Brother Bram said many things, the messages. But see, Brother Branham have what, 7th grade education? But you see, he went to the mind, the back mind of God to bring out a mystery. So when he says things, people don't understand it. And then I say, what is he talking about? He doesn't know what he's talking about. So, but when I begin to learn Hebrew and begin to go to the Old Testament, I say, wait a minute. Is it this what Brother Branham was talking about? When Brother Branham says, Jehovah, the Old Testament, is just the New Testament. It's like, person, what is he talking about? Amen? So those are some of the things that we go through. And like I said, it's not any new revelation. Like I said, if this room is all dark, nobody can see, it's pitch dark, and I bring a flashlight and I point on that picture, you see there's a picture there. I did not put it there. The picture was already there. But because it was dark here, I just brought a flashlight, an instrument, pointed on that to bring that. So whatever I'm going to say is nothing new. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to bring the Hebrew as a new instrument. I'll point you to certain things as you move on. All right? So let us go to the next one. So Brother Abraham said, he always said that the Bible is an Oriental book. We are teaching it in a Western way. Amen? And it's an Oriental book written in an Eastern way. And our parables and things that we teach out of there sometimes is as far as it is from the West of being right. And that's why I discover myself when I begin to learn Hebrew. It does not mean that the Bible is wrong, but our understanding of it, or sometimes the way we try to teach it or interpret. And that's why Brother Branham came, went to the back side, the back mind of God, and began to bring that to us so much because of the way the people understood it. If you remember when he preached the seals, he said, oh, this one understood, I read this. But when the angel came, it was so different. And when he bring it, it's so different that people say, wow. And that's why there's so much controversy. People couldn't understand because it's so different, because we are trying to understand an Eastern book with a Western mindset. Amen? Okay. If from the West or being right, the way we teach it, you have to go to the country where the book was written to understand what they mean. And I tell you, when we went to Israel, Okay, and especially I'm already learning Hebrew, looking at certain things, you can really see how things are. We talk about the Sea of Galilee and all those things that we just hear about them. But when you see really what was going on, where Jesus, what Jesus was, where he says certain things, is it make a whole lot of a difference. Next slide, please. Okay, that's the Hebrew alphabet. And please, like I said, I'm just want to point some stuff to you. You don't have a pointer, right? Okay, that's why. Don't worry. Now, this here is the King James Bible in Hebrew. Okay? In Hebrew, you have to read as Arabic and many Semitic languages. You have to read from right to left. You read it from right to left. So you go this way. When you have a book, you open from back to front. So here it is. So this is the front of the book, and this is the back of it. So if I want to read this, I have to open from right, going this way, because I'm reading this way. One time I was at work, I was reading something in Hebrew, and I have a reading, and one of my colleagues came to me and said, he thought maybe I'm losing my mind. He said, why I read a book upside down? All right, but I said, I'm reading a book upside down. Okay, so there it is. Now, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet I put below is called Aleph. Now, it is said, as I do the research, it is said that the Aleph is where, because Hebrew existed before Greek. It is said that Aleph is where they ever get the word Alpha from. Okay? And probably went down to many Alpha. Now, the letter, now I would like you to notice one thing. All the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, they're looking away from Aleph. You see that? Everyone looks away. And you can do a search on the internet, and that's your biggie. If you want to know a little bit more, just do a little bit of search on the internet. Now, the respect. Now, all right, let me backtrack. When God spoke to Moses to write, God spoke to him in a language. He spoke to him in Hebrew. So the Jews say God created this alphabet. Because he didn't just show Moses, he spoke to, because he speak to Moses, and Moses speak back, I am, okay? And later on, I'll see if we may get there, I'll show you some other things. So that's the first was Aleph. But that Aleph, there's something so much about the word Aleph. It doesn't have any sound in Hebrew. Now, we can stay here the whole year just on that. It does not have any sound. Okay? Now, the second one, you see the second and the third, they are the same. Can you see what is the difference? The difference is just a dot in the first one. So like I said, the first one does not have any sound on its own. It's called Aleph. Now, the second one is the bet. So that gives it the b sound. The third one, if I remove the dot, it becomes vet. So you give it a v sound, the v sound. The second is gimel, so the g sound. The other one is dalet. And every one of them, like I said, we're going to go into the way they all come, all have to do about life. Okay, the bet, the vet, the dalet is all about life. It's not just an alphabet that was just constructed that we write A, B, C, D. It's all about life that you see here. Okay, now the 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, but these two are the same, okay? I just broke it down so you can see. So that's one. Normally this and one are two. The third is gimel. The fourth, the fifth is the hey. So I would like you to pay attention to the first one. Aleph, okay, for now. The fifth one called the hey. So it gives us the ash called the soft H. Soft. But they have a deeper H called like if you're scratching the throat, like bach. Okay? But that's the soft H. Now the sixth one also I'd like you to pay attention to that is called vav. But they say in the Abraham time, again, that's what the Jewish rabbi, the study says. They say Abraham time, just like here in America, we have English from what? Southern Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, New York. They all have different. What it is called what they call a language palatalization. At one time, that when people move, the way you place your tongue gives certain sound. Okay? Like here, if you say y'all, you know that that's from either North Carolina going down. It didn't come from New York, right? So things like that. So they say in the Old Testament, I mean, when they're going back to Abraham time, David time, but that just a legend or saying, the vav was in fact wow sound. So writing the name of David, we get a David. The V there is written with that vav. But they say going way back is not really vav, is wow. So some say Dovid. Okay? But don't worry about that. But today in modern Hebrew, they use that as vav. But again, some people want to say they're sticking to old Orthodox, they'll call that wow. Okay? But that's not a problem. So number one, Aleph. The he, the vav, and then Zion, het. So the het is another H sound. You see how they're almost close? But it's connected. That's a hard H. Het. Amen? Now, so I'll go quick so we get time. And then the het, the tet. So everything you hear and give you the what T sound, okay? And there are many het. And then pay attention to that one, the tenth letter, called a yud. Pay great attention to that, the yud. Okay? And then, quickly, which one? I have almost everything. Let me see. We can look at it later again. Now, you see the taf also give it T sound, but that T is like the T-H-K, but throughout the year, palatalization, all those sound got lost. So today they call it T again, Taf, okay? So Taf is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Later on, not today, but I'll come and show you, the Hebrew alphabet kind of evolved a little bit. They said way, way, way in the beginning, the letter Tav, the somewhat red letter was a cross. Did that sound anything to you? The N. Okay? And I'll get somewhere. There's a little tav. I'll bring another, and you can do search that. Before the Hebrew alphabet evolved, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet to represent it, they use a cross. But you see, when cross were hanging, they couldn't see that that's the N. Amen? Let's go to the next. Okay. Now, the Hebrew alphabet all have numbers. So Aleph is number one. Okay? Now, that one, when the Jews are talking about that, if you remember when God told them, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, your God, the Lord is one." Echad. That's that they had. That means a lot to the Hebrew, the oneness of God. And that's what Brother Bram always say, you can never, ever show a Jew and tell there are three gods. Amen? Shema, Israel, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad. One. That's a unity. And they have no sound on his own. All right, Bet is number two. I told Bet and Vet the same. Gimel is number three, Dalet is four, He is five, Vav is six. I would like you to remember that. Vav is number six. And then Yud is number 10. Remember that later on, but not today. We come back to that. Let's move. But then after number 10, okay, then I move to 20, okay? And then I move to 30. Now, you see this and that, they're the same thing. Like, see here and that, the same. If you remove the dot, if I had a dot, that is giving K sound, calf. If I remove the dot, it'd be some half. But don't worry about that. That's not what that's not my purpose. So let's move to the next slide. So that's the Ten Commandments, the way if they have to write it in Hebrew. Okay? So now, if you notice, you have 10. Okay, you have 10 commandments. Right? You have 10. 10, okay? And remember, we are reading from left to right, and you have to read the first tablet first and here. Now, if you remember, what is the first one? Is I am the Lord your God. Unity, right? Now, I want you to pay attention to this. This is something a Jew, they cannot write, and we get there, all right? We get there. This here, they won't never write. If they ever write on any paper, that paper can never be thrown away. There can be ceremony. They have to put in a synagogue somewhere. The oldest synagogue in the world is in Egypt. And if you go there, there are a lot of paper in the back where people have written the name of God and so forth. All right, let's move. So that's the 10 coins, just to show you a little bit how Hebrew look like. And also, the next thing, you don't see any more dots. You don't see nothing, right? I'll tell you, and let's move forward. Okay, the Hebrew language. The Hebrew language is a consonant language. Vowels are not written, they're vocalized. You say, "Bro, child, what are you talking about? Who knows what is a vowel? A vowel are defined in there. Okay? But let me tell you one thing. Who can express what a vowel is? Can you tell me, give me one vowel in the English language? A. Give me a consonant. Okay. Now look at me. Well, I'm going to do something. If I take the letter A, I can maintain it as long as I have breath. B. I cannot say B, B, I can't. Let me take E. I can stay here all day if I have breath to say E. Let me take C. C. You got that? So a vowel is a speech sound that is produced, okay, but without vibration of a vocal cord. So in the Hebrew language, they don't write vowels. They only have consonants. All the alphabet I show you, they are consonant. But however, there are few of them that at times can become vowels to express certain things. Okay, but we get there. I don't want to get into all the technical aspect here. For instance, you are an English speaker here. If I tell you MSG, what do you think I'm talking about? Do you see any vowel there? If I put TST, you know, is there any vowel there? But what do you tell me the test? All right? Now, can anybody guess what's the last one? Marcel. All right? Okay? Now, in Hebrew, that's the way I have written my name, Marcel, but obviously with the Hebrew characters, okay? So, there's no vowels. Vowels come here, but B, T, well, the thing that your tongue does, that the consonant, B, C, T, M, I can also say I can. Okay? The vowel come from, all right? So, classical, okay, the other thing, classical Hebrew, so if you take the Old Testament, classical Hebrew is what they call a VSO language. VSO means verb, subject, object. It's very important as we begin, because the next time we talk about Father, the next we're going to go to Abraham calling, we're going to go to El Shaddai, we're going to go to Jehovah Jireh, we go to the seven redemptive names, and when we go through those, okay, you begin to see, as I told you, the Father had to project characteristics. And Brother Brown keep preaching that. God is there for the characteristics. But we, as English speakers, when we read that, we think this is a preacher who is just trying to preach something. And that's why people can have the audacity to challenge what he's saying, like this doesn't mean anything. You understand what I'm saying? But But here, he said God is identified by his characteristics. But what Brother Branham is trying to say, he's trying to express the VSO language. But obviously, like I said, Brother Branham, I'm not educated. Okay? But God, he said, I know the author. Amen. And he's expressing the mind of the author. Amen? But remember, Jesus said when Jesus will speak in public, he speak in parable. When he can begin to explain, but he says so that hearing, they cannot hear, seeing, they cannot hear. But to you is given to understand. Amen? The kingdom of God. Amen? So many people in the Bible, do you know what I mean? God sent a prophet, William Aaron Branham. He opened the book. He went to the backside, God's mind, and he took us to way before. Amen? Before everything happened, he took us there and began to break it down. All right? So what is a VSO language? VSO is a verb, subject, object. So over there, in a verb, subject, object, what is important is the action. What happened? The next, who and to whom? So when God comes, the first thing, first character is I heal you, healing. Save, redemption. That's the action. His characteristics is known by Savior, Redeemer, Creator. All right? So let's go to the next. You see what I'm saying? Let's go to the next. So quickly, okay? Then, the name of God, if you remember in the Ten Commandment, it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And they respected that so much. To them, it means everything. The name of God was only pronounced in the temple. We get there, okay? Not the concept of God, but his personal name. Like my name is Marcel, Mike, and different ones, okay? His personal name that he revealed, people cannot pronounce. It's too holy. So outside the temple, people don't even know how to pronounce it. So when they dispersed, people didn't know. And over the years, as the years were going, they didn't know what vowels or what. And so somewhere, I don't remember, in the first or second century, the rabbi said, listen, our language is going to disappear. But remember, in the Bible, in Isaiah, God promised that he will talk to them again in a clear language. Amen? But with the dispersion and not that begin to happen, they realize, wait a minute. This will be lost. So God inspired them. They begin to come with convention to say, sound, how do we going to pronounce it? So you see, the first one, I told you, Aleph doesn't have any sound of his own. That's why you're so usually, if you're learning Hebrew, they'll use the Aleph, but there's another also that doesn't have called Ayin, but don't worry about that. Aleph, so if you put a bar under, it gives it an A sound, A as in father. So if I take Aleph and put bar under the A. So imagine if I'm going to write Adam, you know what letter start that? That. Amen? If I'm going to write Abram, but over there don't say Abram, Abram. You're going to start. So that Aleph is the beginning name of Adam. How Adam was written, the first man ever name that was written started with an Aleph. So you see, the reason I'm going to this, the Bible, like I told you, the Lord's Prayer, people have made it on no effect. It has become like almost a national anthem. Okay, a national chanting or ceremonial prayer. And because the devil, he will take something of God that's true, but make it of no effect. All right? Make it of no effect. So the Bible, many people look at the Bible today, thinks it's a book of fables, fairy tales. And that's why we don't think that the Bible is a life. Where Branham says life, and that's why Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them. Amen? So, let me quickly. So the same thing, but like I told you, in those days, there are a way to fast, but they all look alike. But they're close. So there's another sign there. You see, like almost a T. The Ashkenazic versus the Sephardic. Ashkenazic, the one in German, East Germany and all that, East Europe, the Sephardic, the Northern Africa, and so forth. Is like, So if you're talking to, if you go to Brooklyn, they'll say, okay? Like, let's say, it goes like an R sound, okay? Now, here, the third one, if I put two dots under, it becomes A. So imagine if I'm going to say Elohim. You know how I'm going to start it from? Something like that. Elohim. Okay, let's go. And then, you got E, like a machine, O, and so forth until we go down. Let's go to the next. Now, let me take Genesis chapter 1 to just show you a little bit. Normally, if you go to Genesis chapter 1 in the Tanakh, there's no doubt. It was just purely the consonant. They knew how to read it. But as they started from the first or second somewhere in the century, since they realized they want to make sure they pronounce it right, because they want to make sure that nothing is pronounced wrong. And that's what they came with the convention for. So if I take the first one, that's Genesis. Now, here, this first one, this here is B, okay? Don't worry about that. But here, Reshit means head. So B, this word B means in, at, or R. So it means at the head. What does that tell you? In the beginning, Bereshit, at the head. All right? That's Genesis. And he said, Brother Brown, go take us way back there. Bereshit. Okay? And then you hear the Jews say, Rosh Hashanah. Shana means year. Ha means day. Rosh means head of the year. Rosh Hashanah. When the Jews say we're doing Rosh Hashanah, that's the beginning of the year. Okay? So here, if I go to this is the first, Genesis 1:1. So Bereshit. You see here Bereshit. So at the head, in the beginning, bara means created. That's a verb. So in beginning, created. But you see, if I read in English, it's in the beginning, God, subject. Our English language is called a SVO, subject, verb, object. But Hebrew, the first in the beginning, what happened? There was a creation. That's a characteristic of God. He's a creator. Amen? So, it's not just a name that we call him. And that's why Jesus said, if you do not believe in me, you're seeing me here as Jesus' flesh. You're just seeing me here as somebody who say was born from Mary or from illegitimate. If you don't believe that. But look at the actions. Because the Hebrew, the Jew, they knew that it is action. Then look at the action that are happening. Healing, you saw that. You remember when John sent his disciple, say, should we look for another one? What did he tell them? Go to John. See what you've seen. Actions, the characteristics. Now, when you tell that to John be a prophet, know that God is identified by his characteristics. Amen? So that's why I kind of put a red so you can see, okay? Bara means created, all right? Bereshit bara. Now, you see the next word, that's Elohim. You know what I tell you? That's the Aleph. Elohim. Like I said, he does not have any sound of his own. The sound that comes is what gives him a sound. Amen? You remember, Brother Branham? God loves you. But you got to accept it. What you make of him is what it is to you. Amen? That's Elohim. So in the beginning, created God. Now, Et. Do you remember what these two letters are? That's the Aleph. And what is this one? That's Tav, the last letter. So as I was doing studies, again, this is not for you to, like I said, to learn Hebrew, but I'm just sharing this with you. When I was learning and I came, you know, Brother Branham always said that, and the Bible said, do not take one word out. Because if you take one word out, you'll probably be taken. But you see, in English, you can sell them. You can say, well, if I say, I will not go, or I won't, it's the same thing. If it's I will not, that's three words. I can make it two words, I won't. What's the difference? Because you are taking Western mind. If you go to an Eastern mind, if you remove one word, the whole Bible falls apart. As a domino, it doesn't mean anything. Or if I go, I just remove one from me, the whole Bible falls apart. That's the reason why today, if you go to Harvard University, MIT, different places, they took mathematical code and they can decode things in the Bible. Because the Bible is so well organized, there's no way any human author can put something like that. It's supernatural. So the Bible is inspired. So when people begin to tell you don't believe the Bible, don't. Maybe if you read it in English, you may have doubt. But tell when I read the Bible in Hebrew or whatever I see, you know what? I don't need to read in the Bible if you believe. But what I'm trying to say, when people will take the Bible and think the Bible is not true, they don't know what they're talking about. Amen? So Bereshit, Bara, Et. You see those two letters? As I was reading, I was doing some study. The rabbi, they look at it and say, wait a minute. In the beginning, God created, and the first letter that comes in the Bible that Moses wrote is the first letter and the last letter. So, if you're reading it, it's like in the beginning, God created the beginning and the end. Didn't Brother Branham told us that? Didn't Brother Branham repeated that throughout the whole, that he knew the end before the beginning? Imagine when I saw something like that in my room, right? I feel like running all over the street. Amen? I feel like running. That Jesus said, search the scriptures. They speak of me. And this Jewish, they learn. They know everything. Why can't they see it? So in the beginning, at... So Aleph and Tav, so in the beginning, God created the beginning and the end. We know that. He knew that. So that gives you confidence in him. Amen? And at Hashamayim, Hashamayim, that's the heaven and the earth. So anyway, let's quickly go. I'm going to borrow a few. Okay, here. So you see, go back. So you see here, this Elohim is a concept of God. Amen? Like today, if you go to India, they use the same word God. When the people were in the, and later on when we get there, I'll show you, when the people were in the boat with Jonah, and they were sinking, and asked them, pray to your God, that's the same word they use. Elohim. In those Canaan and around there, that's word of Elohim was used to express a deity. And if you remember, what did Brother Abraham tell you? When I go and read, Brother Brown will tell you in the beginning, God was not even God, was just an object of worship. Amen? But now, okay, let's move to the next. Okay, now, you see here, Lord, this is in Genesis 12 that I want you to study. Now, that's the way to write it. Now, when you read, when you go home, do that. In your Old Testament, you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. A Jew, when they're writing to them, will never write this combination. If you're on the internet, you see an article written by a Jew, he write L-R-D. Because if you write the whole thing, that means he called the name of God. Now here, you remember I told you this is the Yud, this is the He, this is the Vav, and this is the He. Now remember, this was put later. So the Yud, the He, the Vav, the He, oh, wow. So people begin to say, if I put A here, and I put E here, that means Yahweh. If I put A here, I put O here, I put A here, that means Jehovah. That's the name of God that nobody knew how to pronounce. They didn't know what vowels go in between. So if you do a research, they call it the tetragrammaton. Okay? So we're going to continue next time. I've already run on borrowed time. So we're going to continue this next time. Okay? Next Sunday, God willing. And then I will come back. Please read Genesis 12. All right? And we begin to re-understand more. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Father, we thank you for this day again. And Lord, we pray that may you bless the oncoming service. Lord, may your anointing come, Lord, and bless the speaker. Oh God, we love you. We appreciate you. Lord, may you show yourself again among us. May you identify yourself by your characteristics, Father. Heal the sick. Father, save those who need saving. Feel those who need feeling, Father. Oh, Lord, may you glorify yourself today through your characteristics. We pray and ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.